back. I watched the snow fall, unable to decide whether I should be worried or relieved. Relieved, since perhaps that would bring an end to our moving and we could finally settle. Henri points at the stars.
Right there, he says. Right there is where Lorian is.
Of course, I know full well where Lorian is without having to be told. There is a certain pull, a certain way that my eyes always gravitate towards the spot where, billions of miles away, Lorian sits. I try to catch a snowflake on the tip of my tongue, then close my eyes and breathe in the cold air. When I open them, I turn around and look at Sarah through the window. She's sitting with her legs beneath her, Bernie Kosar's head still in her lap. Have you ever thought of just settling here? Of saying to hell with Lorian and making a life here on Earth? I ask Henri.
We left when you were pretty young. I don't imagine you remember much of it, do you?
Not really, I say. Bits and pieces come to me from time to time, though I can't necessarily say whether they are things I remember or things I've seen during our training.
I don't think you would feel that way if you could remember.
But I don't remember. Isn't that the point?
Maybe, he says. But whether or not you want to go back doesn't mean the Mogadorians are going to stop searching for you. And if we get careless and settle, you can be assured they'll find us. And as soon as they do, they'll kill us both. There's no way to change that. No way.
I know he's right. Somehow, like Henri, I can sense that much. Can feel it in the dead of night when the hairs on my arms stand at attention. When a slight shiver crawls up my spine even though I'm not cold. Do you ever regret sticking with me for this long?
Regret it? Why do you think I would regret it?
Because there's nothing for us to go back to? Your family is dead. So is mine. On Lorian there is only a life of rebuilding. If it wasn't for me, you could easily create an identity here and spend the rest of your days becoming a part of some place. You could have friends, maybe even fall in love again.
Henri laughs. I'm already in love, and I'll continue to be until the day that I die. I don't expect you to understand that. Lorian is different from Earth.
I sigh with exasperation. But still, you could be a part of somewhere.
I am a part of somewhere. I'm a part of Paradise, Ohio, right now, with you.
I shake my head. You know what I mean, Henri.
What is it you think I'm missing?
A life?
You are my life, kiddo. You and my memories are my only ties to the past. Without you, I have nothing. That's the truth.
Just then the door opens behind us. Bernie Kosar comes trotting out ahead of Sarah, who is standing in the doorway, half in and half out. Are you two really going to make me watch this movie all by my lonesome? She asks. Henri smiles at her.
Wouldn't dream of it, he says.
After the movie, Henri and I drive Sarah home. When we get there, I walk her to her front door, and we stand on the stoop, smiling at each other. I kiss her goodnight, a lingering kiss, while holding both her hands gently in mine. See you tomorrow, she says, giving my hands a squeeze. Sweet dreams. I walk back to the truck. Henri pulls out of Sarah's driveway and steers towards home. I can't help feeling a sense of fear while remembering Henri's words the day he picked me up for my first full day of school.
Just keep in mind, we might have to leave at a moment's notice.
He's right, and I know it. But I've never felt this way about anyone before. Like I'm floating on air when we're together, and I dread the times when we're apart. Like now, despite having just spent the last couple of hours with her. Sarah gives some purpose to our running and hiding, a reason that transcends mere survival, a reason to win. And to know that I may be putting her life in danger by being with her, well, it terrifies me. When we get back, Henri walks into his bedroom and comes out carrying the chest. He drops it on the kitchen table. Really? I ask. He nods.
There's something in here I've wanted to show you for years.
I can't wait to see what else is in the chest. We pop the lock together, and he lifts the lid in such a way that I can't peer in. Henri removes a velvet bag, closes the chest, and relocks it.
These aren't part of your legacy, but the last time we opened the chest, I slipped them in, because of the bad feeling I've been having. If the Mogadorians catch us, they'll never be able to open this,
he says, and motions to the chest. So what's in the bag?
The solar system, he says.
If they aren't part of my legacy, then why have you never shown me?
Because you needed to develop a legacy in order to activate them.
He clears the kitchen table and then sits across from me with the bag in his lap. He smiles at me, sensing my enthusiasm. Then he reaches down and removes 7 glass orbs of varying sizes from the bag. He holds them up to his face in his cupped hands and blows on the glass orbs. Tiny flickers of light come from within them. Then he tosses them up in the air, and all at once, they come to life, suspended above the kitchen table. The glass balls are a replica of our solar system. The largest of them is the size of an orange, Lorien's sun, and it hangs in the middle, emitting the same amount of light as a light bulb while looking like a self-contained sphere of lava. The other balls orbit around it. Those closest to the sun move at a faster rate, while those farthest away seem to only creep by. All of them spinning, days beginning and ending at hyperspeed. The 4th globe from the sun is Lorien. We watch it move, watch the surface of it begin to form. It is about the size of a racquetball. The replica must not be to scale, because in reality, Lorien is far smaller than our sun. So what's happening? I ask.
The ball is taking on the exact form of what Lorien looks like at this moment.
How is this even possible?
It's a special place, John. An old magic exists at its very core. That's where your legacies come from. It's what gives life and reality to the objects contained within your inheritance.
But you just said that this isn't part of my legacy.
No, but they come from the same place.
Indentations form, mountains grow. Deep creases cut across the surface where I know rivers once ran, and then it stops. I look for any sort of color, any movement, any wind that might blow across the land. But there is nothing. The entire landscape is a monochromatic patch of gray and black. I don't know what I had hoped to see, what I had expected. Movement of some kind, a hint of fertileness? My spirits fall. Then the surface dims away so that we can see through it, and at the very core of the globe, a slight glow begins to form. It glows, then dims, then glows again, as though replicating the heartbeat of a sleeping animal. What is that? I ask.
The planet still lives and breathes. It has withdrawn deep into itself, biding its time, hibernating, if you will. But it will wake one of these days.
What makes you so sure?
That little glow right there, he says. That is hope, John.
I watch it. I find an odd pleasure in seeing it glow. They tried to wipe away our civilization, the planet itself, and yet it still breathes. Yes.